Hello and welcome back to the second part of our two-part series with Westminster School in Adelaide, South Australia. If you haven't listened in to part one, then I'd recommend checking that episode out first, where our Director of Teaching, Angela Phillips, is in conversation with me, Richard Reid, to give us a real flavour of the coaching journey Westminster has been on over the last few years. If you have, well then, let's press on, as I'm delighted to be chatting once again with Angela. Angela, it's great to have you back on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, I'd like to extend that warm welcome to another of Westminster's teachers, Ali Barr. Ali, I'm so pleased that you're able to join us for part two.
Great to be here. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Ali, if I could start with you, it would be great just to get a flavour of your journey into education and how you have arrived at Westminster School.
Oh, well, it's a journey that takes us from the west of Scotland all the way to Murray Bridge in South Australia and then down to Westminster. So I basically wanted to be a child psychologist and started to study, did a voluntary placement, and then discovered how much I just loved being with primary children and that I wanted to do that. So I switched degrees and I've been teaching since 2004, and I've run the gauntlet from very low socioeconomic schools in the west of Scotland in Glasgow, all the way through to middle type schools where the problems were far ranging, and then all the way through to a top tier school like Westminster. So I've really had experience across every type of education sector.
Fantastic. In many ways, Angela, similar-ish to your story. In part one, Angela gave us some great insights into what coaching looks like at Westminster School. Ali, can you share with us what a typical day might look like for you as a coach, both in formal settings, but also in those informal interactions with other staff?
Sure. Well, in teaching, every single day looks different. So what I thought I would give you is a snapshot of what coaching could look like just in different scenarios that I come across almost on a daily basis, especially with those informal interactions. Those take place everywhere. I found that coaching infiltrates the way that I think and the way that I have conversations. It's very different now to before I was a coach. I found that I ask a lot more questions. I don't jump in and try and save the day. In my role, people ask me a lot of questions and they would like a lot of solutions quite quickly. And that's basically what I do, is I fix problems and I solve issues. So coaching allows me to ask questions and really build capacity in my team. So rather than answering all the questions as quickly as possible, it's been a really great vehicle to have those informal conversations while we're having a coffee in the staff room. And instead of giving the answer or what I think or what I would do, asking those questions and going a little bit deeper into, well, why are you asking for my opinion or my advice? What's making you think that you don't know how to answer this yourself? And if it is a case of a lack of confidence, it's really building that back up. And that's been quite a powerful thing. So I find that I'm sort of accidentally coaching in these little incidental moments all the time. It's really hard to stop. But for those more official ones, the formal ones where we're looking at goal setting and improving practice and helping colleagues to identify areas that they want to work on, that's a much more, it's formal but informal, I like to call it. So it's formal in that we make time and we build it into our timetables, but it's informal, like it's just a chat. It's a nice, we sit, we have a coffee. It is structured, as all coaching sessions usually are, but it's very informal and it feels more like a conversation between two friends than more of a mentorship model, which is what I've done in the past, where I've mentored people and asked them to come to me basically so that I can lead them in a certain direction. This is very different. It takes me in all sorts of directions and I've learned a lot of new things through the process. So those look different. I could be observing a lesson with a specific goal that a teacher has asked me to look at. I could be having an informal conversation in the staff room or having one of those more formal chats, usually on a sofa with a coffee. And it can also look like people calling or emailing for just a little mini catch-up session. So we found that that seems to be quite popular. Instead of a really formal sit-down meeting, it's more, can I have a chat with you for 5 minutes? I just want to run something past you and get your ideas. And again, then it flips the script a little bit and I put that back on them and say, all right, okay, what do you think? Where are you coming from on this one? Why really do you need me to give you that support to make that decision? And yeah, it's all about building capacity, every opportunity to build capacity.
Mm-hmm. You used a lovely phrase, Ali, at the start of your answer there, that coaching infiltrates the way I think and the way I talk, which is an amazing place to be. And lovely to get examples of those formal coaching sessions, which where you say, yes, we provide time for it. And yes, it's very much, it's a structured conversation, but also those informal conversations in the staff room. So that 5-minute coaching conversation, which is an informal one. And you mentioned coffee, if I'm correct, I think 3 times. So coffee obviously plays a significant part in coaching at Westminster.
It very much does.
Yeah, but it paints a lovely picture of conversation the way it should be. It's informal, but at the same time, it's structured, and you know you're taking the approach where the other person is going to do their best thinking, which is just fantastic. Ali, thank you very much for sharing that with us. Angela, as you have built up the coaching team at Westminster, I'd love to ask you about a phrase you used at the recent HALT 2023 summit, and I quote here: "Coaches are human, humble, and works in progress." Can you unpack that a little for us?
Yes, I can. I think Ali's touched on it about how we want our coaching program to be and how important it is. We can't expect people to come in and be vulnerable and talk about what bothers them in their classroom if, as coaches, we're not doing the same thing. So our principal, Simon Shepherd, has got this great quote, and he talks about people wearing their I'm perfect t-shirt or their imperfect t-shirt. And we just want to make it, a real thing that we're not perfect, and we are just human beings who make mistakes. So when we introduced coaching at the beginning of the year, when we introduced all our coaches, we had work in progress. So we had a picture of everybody up and a work in progress, and we all shared something that we're vulnerable about. So I'm a dyslexic maths teacher. My proofreading is awful. I can't pronounce people's names. I am just, you know, there's all these different things that I struggle with, and we all struggle with different things, but it's about owning that. So we're actually showing that we're working on what we want to be looking at. But our big thing at Westminster, we are a very relational school. So we have positive relationships between the staff. We want positive relationships between the students and the teachers. Between the students and the students. So we wanted that to really filter through into our coaching program so that people can be vulnerable. And as Ali said, it might be somebody just wants a quick 2 minutes and I just run something by you. And we want to be those people that are human. And I want to be able to go in and go, oh my goodness me, I've taught me year 10 and it was a bit of a disaster, and just be able to talk through those things. So I think that's really important for us to be vulnerable to.
Yeah, it comes through very, very clearly, Angela. And what comes into my head as you describe that, there must be a high level of trust within the staff. You know, when people are prepared to be vulnerable and discuss those things, which inevitably go wrong in teaching because we're all human beings. And you've mentioned this a number of times in the first episode, which folks will have listened to already, is that idea of we haven't got it right yet. You know, we are a work in progress, and that's all of us. It's not just the coaches, it's everybody in the school. And I suppose that mentality helps to develop that sense of team, because we're all human beings, and we're all doing our best to get better. Ali, what are your thoughts as a Westminster school coach on being human, humble, and a work in progress? And maybe you could share with us some of the detail from your coach profile that Angela mentioned.
Sure. Well, Angela's sort of summed up completely. We're a very relational school, and that's one of the reasons why it's such a great place to be and to work every day. We do foster those super strong relationships with our teams, with our students, and I hope that's coming across, because it really is a very special part about being part of the Wesley family. We coaches know that we're not perfect, and we would never claim to be. And I think that's part of being human. It's part of the human experience, is that we reflect. And coaching, it almost forces you to really reflect on your own self as you're coaching someone else. And I found that the two are inextricably linked. So if I'm coaching someone and all of my coaches are from the senior school, so I'm a primary teacher and I lead the prep school with the rest of the management team there, but all of my coaches are in the senior school, so I'm constantly learning things from them. And what that's made me look at is my subject specialism is digital tech, so I teach digital tech to small people, I suppose. And I'm watching these teachers who have technically got the same job as me, but they really don't, because they're teaching children or young adults who are at a very different life stage. It's a completely different kettle of fish. And I suppose for me, that's really helped me to reflect on my own practice and take parts that I can see that are working really well, especially with the adolescent students, because our year sixes are heading towards that. So it's been fantastic as a reflective tool. And I think you can only be a coach if you're truly reflective yourself. And Angela insists that we all coach each other as well, which at first we thought, oh, okay, let's see how that goes. But it's been invaluable because it means that we go through the process. We have our own coach. And it just means that we understand the process and we understand the agency that our teachers have. They get to decide what goals do they want to look at? When do they want to do this? How often do they want to meet? How much support do they need? Or do they want to opt out and come back a little bit later or wait until later in the year? So there's lots and lots of different things that are happening that can help us to be a little bit more reflective in our own practice. So my coaching profile, my biggest thing that I really struggle with is the work, family, life, study balance. And I've been very honest with my teams about that. I've been very honest about my struggles with that. I love study. I love academic research, but I also have a family. Yes. And I also have a job and I teach, and there's like lots of things in that mix and everyone's in that same boat. So I have shared those struggles and I'm constantly on the lookout for a way to make that balance just work a little bit better. And I'm very fortunate that one of our coaches at Westminster, we had one of those informal chats that wasn't a coaching conversation, but it turned into one because I needed it in that moment. And yeah, I could be vulnerable with her. And it's such a human experience to be able to be vulnerable with someone. And as Angela said, you have to trust them completely. It's not going any further, even though it wasn't an official conversation. It's not going any further. I can open up. I can share those worries or those fears. And then I can, I did seek advice, but she coached me. So then I ended up coming up with my own advice and my own path forward. But that was a very real need for that conversation in that moment. And because we have that real ethos of trust and respect, I think we're moving towards that part of coaching where it doesn't always have to be formal and it doesn't have to be called coaching. And that's because our coaches are so relational. Every single one of them, I would say, is quite a humble person. They don't think they're amazing in any way, shape or form, even though I would argue that some of them are, if not most, but they don't see that in themselves at all. And they're constantly striving to make themselves better practitioners and to support their colleagues. So I think the way that Angela has set it up for us has been really, really effective, probably more effective than initially first thought.
Yes, I can imagine. And just, you know, listening to you chat through that, Ali, it's lovely to hear you folks as coaches able to show your vulnerable side and able to say, look, you know something, actually, intentionally, I'm going to share some of the aspects of the job or whatever beyond that I actually struggle with. I would imagine that's where a big part of the trust then develops, you know, within the school. And at the same time, you know, you're mentioning, because you're involved in prep and primary, which my whole career was in primary, so I can relate to that one. But having conversations now with colleagues from the senior school that you wouldn't maybe have been having if it wasn't for coaching. So you're getting an insight into who they are and how they tick, which is reciprocal. So it's beneficial to you, even though you are the coach doing the coaching. Angela, there is a very strong emphasis on the school's website, on the relationship between teacher and student and the impact this has on learning outcomes. What impact has developing a coaching team over recent years had on pupil outcomes?
I think really it's probably a two-pronged attack with student outcomes. It's the coaching program, but also our HALT, our Highly Accomplished and Lead Teacher program. And I think they've sort of meshed in a way, not into one, but they overlap so beautifully. So with the HALT program, what you're looking for with a highly accomplished or lead teacher is somebody that has impact on student well-being, engagement and academic outcomes. So that's something that we as a school have been focusing on, and also the support, the teachers supporting each other. So, and leading each other. So that's been a focus since we started with our HALT group and our HALT program, which started back in 2019. So we've got a big push on student voice feedback as well. So we all, like, students, they give feedback to the teachers. We've got a really great program that again has been going for quite a long period of time. So we've been able to track student data. And the great thing about it is with the student voice, we'll do a faculty student voice. So, if, for example, I'm a maths teacher, so we might have the faculty student voice showing where the faculty are doing well and where they need to improve. And then we drill down to individual data, and everybody gets their individual data as well. So they can see their areas, and from those areas, people have then set goals for their with their coach. Of things that they want to work on and improve. So people have been able to get great metrics. And as I'm a maths geek, I really love it when people go, oh, I can see a big improvement from here to here, from semester one last year to semester one this year. Look at the difference that I've made, or from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So we've got a great big push on data. But I think the key things is it's the engagement that has been a key, and that's because we are relational, and I think we've talked about that quite a lot today. We do want the kids to, you know, we do want our kids to feel that they're engaged in learning, and we also want them to be agents of their own learning, so they have some control over it. It's not something that we do to them. It's a, you know, it's something that they are in charge of. So engagement has been a big focus for lots of people in the coaching program, but what we are really keen on is making the coaching agentic, so people can come up and say what they want their goal to be. So we have seen great strides in lots of different people's feedback, but because we're having all our goals are confidential, so we do de-identified goals. We've got a list of the goals that people have worked through over the years, but they're de-identified. Because we want to protect the confidentiality, and that's such a big thing. We will only share the impact of that goal if people are comfortable with that. So it's been great impact, and people give permission, we'll absolutely share that with eventually to, you know, I'll write a little report. But at this stage, it is people looking at their own goals with their coach and me. So I can see it, but it's not something that we make a big song and dance about, because it is confidential. So we are seeing great strides, but nothing that we publish to anybody.
Understandable. That's very helpful. Ali, as a teacher, you will know all too well the high demands and busy nature of teaching. What advice would you give to any teachers listening who are interested in getting into coaching but are concerned that it might just turn into another thing to add to their to-do list?
And that to-do list is very long, isn't it?
It is.
I suppose that the thing that I would say, honestly, we as a group thought, oh, okay, how's this going to fit in? How does this work? What does this look like? And Angela is one of those people that kind of just encourages you to go for it and see what it looks like, and then we'll problem solve as we go along, which I think was the best attitude to this, because there was a little bit of reservation about how is this going to fit in, and what if I have five people who want to talk to me in a week? It hasn't been like that at all. And what we did was we did baby steps. So we introduced one coachee, and see how that fits into the timetable. And then maybe for people who are more flexible like me, so I only teach 0.3. So I've got quite a good amount of flexibility on some days. Can I fit in another person? How does that look? And then what we found was, as we went through, it wasn't a weekly thing at all. It was really organic. And the way that people wanted to be coached, often there was a long pause in between while they went away, reflected, did a little bit of work on something. And it could be weeks. So at the moment, I've got five. So I've got five people who I meet with as regularly as they need me to. But that's not an everyday occurrence. It's not a huge amount of time. And I would say that things are only on your list to tick off if you don't enjoy them. Whereas coaching, if you're a person who likes people,
yes,
if you if you like that relational aspect and you really want to develop and help your colleagues and support them, and you really want to develop and support yourself by being reflective, I don't think that coaching's another thing to just tick off the list. I think that it's a genuinely enjoyable experience.
Yes.
So I really look forward to them now. I look forward to my coaching sessions. I hope that my coachees do as well. When it's fun and when it's relational and when it's building those relationships with people that you normally wouldn't cross paths with, I really don't think that it would be considered that. However, I am a realist and I understand that when the demands are there, I think it's important to have a flexible model,
yeah,
so that you as the coach can step back and say, actually, at the moment, my plate is pretty full. How about we meet next week? And Angela's given us the freedom to do that. But I would just encourage anyone to jump in and try it. I was lucky. I had already worked in the growth coaching model as part of my leadership journey. So that was amazing. So I already had a bit of background with the growth model. So I knew what I was coming into and I knew the benefits that I would get from it. But some of the coaches didn't. And I think they would all now say that they've really reaped the rewards themselves personally as just an amazing form of personal development and professional development, to be able to frame conversations and lead and support colleagues. I think the HALT, the Highly Accomplished and Lead Teacher process, was incredibly reflective. But I think that instructional coaching, if you're not going down the HALT path,
yes,
in Australia, then instructional coaching gives you that same benefit of being able to reflect on yourself and also being able to build the capacity of the colleagues that we're lucky enough to work with.
And that instructional coaching option, you know, is then obviously available worldwide, you know, so there's no restriction, mm, obviously for teachers. I like that mindset, that phrase that you use, where you link back to Angela's, I suppose, approach, have a go and problem solve along the way, you know, so it's very much a mindset, and the word flexibility came in there quite strongly, you know, where it doesn't have to happen every week, you know, it can happen on an ad hoc basis as and when needed. But when you actually give it a go, you'll see that it is genuinely isn't something just to add to your to-do list, which you quite rightly at the start said is already very long in the first place. Angela, referring back again to your presentation at the HALT Summit, you used a slide where you depicted the dream. Now, obviously, the school has come a long way on its coaching journey, but clearly you have plans to constantly evolve and improve. What does the dream look like at Westminster in the future?
Oh, goodness me. My dream really is that coaching is interlinked with everything that we do. It's our culture. So not just the coaches and people who are currently being coached, but for everybody. At the moment, we're working with the teachers. So I'd really love for everybody, every member of staff in school, to be able to be coached if they want to. I was talking, mm-hmm, to the IT guys the other week and they were going, oh my goodness, I really would love a coach. So we want to try and build everybody in, but we just don't have the capacity to do that at the moment. But that's something that I would like to be dreaming about. Ali and I have already started working on a program where we're training some of our students to be peer coaches. So we're training our year 8 students who, and they're going to be peer coaching the year 6s as they transition through to senior school. So we want that program to grow. This is our first year, so we'll see how that goes. But we're hoping that we've got those links. So when the students come over from the prep into the senior school, they've got that person that they've worked with quite a lot already before they actually make the move, and they've got those connections. So we're really excited about that. My other thing is we've got Pedagogy at West, which is our instructional playbook, which I feel like is my baby, and it's just, mm-hmm, evolving and growing. And I get really excited when somebody goes, oh, I've seen a great video, and because people are going away and videoing the lessons and watching it with the coach, I'll get videos every week and people go, oh, can you just watch this bit about 10 minutes? And then I geek it out over the weekend and cut little videos and drop it in. I just want that to be an ever-evolving resource that people can just drop in. And also that sums up our pedagogy as a school and who we are. So when we've got new staff coming in, they can go away, have a look at it. It'd be quite mind-blowing, I would imagine, but have a look at it and go, oh, I'm getting a feel for what the school is about. So I've got about a million things that I would really love to do, but I think the big thing is I just want coaching to be embedded in everything that we do across school for both all the staff and all our kids.
I think that's a terrific dream, and I can understand, Angela, your passion for adding a long list of things that you want to achieve in there is terrific. It's inspiring, but you're right. You know, it's about one step at a time, which you've evidenced all the way through the last number of years. It's about taking, you know, sensible steps, and you know, being strategic about these things. I know. I remember one time, I'm nearly sure it was our executive director at GCI, Chris Munro, made a comment again about this idea of coaching being part of your culture in the school. It's just the way we talk around here. And I think that's come through very, very clearly to me in this episode, but also in the first episode with yourself, Angela, that it's very much just what we do. And it's how we talk around here. And Ali, you give those lovely examples of, you know, when you have a 5-minute cup of coffee with somebody, it's just something that naturally happens. And that's something that happens over time, doesn't happen overnight. And I think one thing from our Stories from the Field episodes, it's trying to really emphasize to listeners that this doesn't happen in a term or two terms or a school year. You know, there's a significant number of years of investment to get to the point where you folks are. But equally, it's inspiring to see you folks still driven to do more and achieve more. Angela and Ali, this has been a great conversation today, and a lovely and very useful extension to the first conversation Angela and I had in the last episode. The work at Westminster School is clearly having a significant impact on teaching, on the whole sense of team within the school, and ultimately pupil outcomes. I'd like to wish you and the rest of the team at Westminster continued success as you work towards and realise your dream for the future. For our listeners, I'm sure you've found this double header to be a great source of motivation for your own coaching journey. Can I encourage you to visit the GCI website at growthcoaching.com.au, where there are many more podcast stories from the field, along with a wide variety of other free coaching resources. And in the meantime, I look forward to joining you all on the next episode of Coaching in Education, where theory and good intentions meet reality.